that one.
This is more anointed.
Excellent. I need that. Thanks, Pastor Aaron. Well, hello. How are you? Can everyone do something for me this morning? Smile. Because this is going to help me a lot. You're right, Pastor Aaron. It's very, very difficult to preach into an environment where you're not getting a lot of feedback. So the more feedback you can give me, the better. So it's going to be great. It's awesome to be here this morning. You probably may know our faces. We've been regular visitors at Grace City Church, and we always love coming here and particularly enjoy the worship and the fellowship that we share with you all. And we bring greetings from Centerpoint Church this morning, our home church, Pastor John, Sharon, Chalaya, who just like to send love to you today. Let's just briefly pray. Lord, I just thank you that this is about you, what you're doing in our lives, what you see for our futures. Lord, I just ask that you would open our eyes and open our ears this morning to the potentials that we have in you, for the opportunities, the graces that you deliver to us for this season. Lord, I just thank you that you are here in this place, and we bless you and love you today in Jesus' name. Well, it's a great honour to be here because this is a fantastic season for Grace City Church, right? This is a season where things are changing and new things are opening up, and it's a great time of transition in leadership, and that will bring new opportunities. And it's not just an opportunity for Pastor Stuart and Pastor Pauline to go on to other things, but it's a great opportunity for Pastor Aaron, Yvonne, and this is going to be an incredible season for this church. And you know, there are several definite seasons in God, and it's important to understand and be aware of the season that you are in. The reason being is there are certain graces and opportunities that are available to each one of you as seasons change. And you know, Pastor Denise and I, we've walked with God as servants and disciples of his for the last 35 years, and we've noticed 36 years, thank you. We've noticed that as we change seasons, graces and abilities in God and opportunities in God changes as we go through those seasons. You know, and what we've seen is that what we're seeing today is the fruit of an incredible season of Pastor Stuart and Pastor Pauline's life. But it hasn't just been their fruit. It's also been Pastor Cara and Henry and Pastor Aaron and Yvonne and many other people who have actually brought fruit to the table and allowed others to come and share that fruit. They haven't just kept it to themselves. They've shared their fruit. And many, many lives have been impacted. Now, you imagine this morning, if you look around this morning and we go, okay, there's a certain number of people here this morning. This isn't the fruit. This is a very, very small part of the fruit. Can you imagine how many people have been impacted since 1991 by Pastor Stuart and Pauline's ministry? You could not fit them in this building. There would be thousands upon thousands of people who they have nourished and fed through the fruit that they have brought to the table. People who have come, they might have only even come for one service, but they've eaten the fruit, and the fruit has seed, and that seed can be delivered to others. So what we see this morning isn't the culmination of what you have done as a ministry. No, this is just a very small part of the people. This is just the people who happen to be here on this day. We could not fit the amount of people in this building who have been touched by the fruit of this ministry. Everyone who has passed through this door since 1991, is that correct? Have shared in the fruit. You know, Pastor Denise and I are the same. What you might see us as, oh, this is the guy who comes and he speaks at our church every now and again. No, we've actually grown by the fruit of this church. Every Sunday when we come and preach, we go out and have lunch together. We've broken bread together. We've been in Pastor Cara's and Henry's home, and we've broken bread together. We've shared together, and we have grown by the fruit of this ministry. Fruit that's never been withheld, fruit that's been released. And you watch the fruit that continues to be released from your pastors. They're not going to retire. They're shifting seasons. The fruit might change, but there will continue to be fruit. See, we don't retire from being Christians. We just step into another season. You know, Pastor Denise and I, we stepped down from leadership, senior leadership. We had a church in Port Kennedy. We pastored for 11 years, and we passed that church on to our assistant pastors through a Nations Church. But that fruit has continued, and what we built, what we planted, and the fruit that we saw develop and grow has continued over time, because every disciple is called to bear fruit. So if you are here this morning and you are sitting in this building and you are a disciple, you are called to bear fruit. Let's have a look at John 15, 5-8. Jesus made this statement. He said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." He didn't say, "So you will be my apostles," or "So you will be my senior pastors." He said, "So you will be my disciples." Every one of us in this room is called to bear fruit. In John 15, 16, Jesus also said, "You did not choose me." So you didn't choose Jesus this morning, "but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." Every one of us have the responsibility of going and bearing fruit. You know, three times in the first chapter of Genesis, right from the beginning, God speaks of bearing fruit with seed in it. Three times, first chapter. And twice in the first chapter, God speaks of bearing fruit and multiplying. So from the beginning, this was God's plan that we should bear fruit and see multiplication. See, each of us should produce fruit with the seed of reproductibility in it. And if the fruit we bear has seed in it, and as we sow that into the lives of others, they too will be able to produce fruit with the seed that is in it to sow into the lives of others. Does that make sense? We not only share our fruit, we share fruit with seed in it so that others can be nourished and grow and they can start to share out of that fruit as it develops in their lives. But it all revolves around seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And discerning that season that you are in is vitally important. Now, I've noticed, and we've discussed this for a little while, that Pastor Stuart and Pastor Pauline have discerned this season for a while. They've discerned that it's time to be able to step back and hand the leadership over this church to another couple and a younger man. You see, what often happens is pastors don't discern the time and they ride their churches into the ground and can't figure out why at 90 there's no one still coming. They haven't discerned the season. This is a good season for this church. And remember, there are certain graces and opportunities found in each season. So we're going to quickly have a look at a couple of seasons. And you might identify, hopefully, you'll identify yourself in one of these three seasons. There's more than three seasons, but we're going to deal with three particular seasons this morning. All right, here we go. This is from Isaiah 37, verse 30. And God gave a word to King Hezekiah, and this is the word he gave. This year, you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year, what springs forth from that. But in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat fruit. You see, this scripture contains within it some very important principles for discerning your season. So I hope this helps you. It talks about three seasons of our Christian walk. Let's have a look at the first season. So let's break this up. In the beginning of our Christian walk is our first season, right? And we're spiritually meant to eat what grows by itself in this season. It says, this year you will eat what grows by itself. You see, it's quite a self-centered season. The first season of your Christian life, our focus is on receiving feeding. And that's what we need. Just as a newborn baby, God intends for others to care for us and to make sure that we are fed from the Word of God. Who remembers that season? Do you remember that season? You'd just given your life to Jesus and you were, the Word was confusing and it was new and you didn't understand it, and people would say things from the pulpit like this or speak into your life, and it would be like, wow, suddenly lights would go on. Suddenly all this would start to make sense, and there would be this desire in you to, wow, I need to learn more. I need to grow. But you needed to be fed. You couldn't feed yourself. And I remember this season, we'd come along to everything. We'd go to whatever meeting was happening. We'd drive all over the place to go whatever meeting was happening, just to actually hear and grow, just to be fed. You know, we didn't make huge decisions over which church we went to. We just were going to a church and we were soaking up everything that came our way, you know, without much effort on our own part. We weren't seeking specific feeding for a specific reason. We were just enjoying soaking up what came our way. Now, if you're in that season, I say hallelujah. Enjoy it. This is what you're meant to be doing. If you're meant to come along and hear. You're meant to be going along to prayer meetings and listen what goes on and receiving whatever teaching and whatever nourishment you can be receiving, because you'll find that it's out of that season that the second season will be birthed. Now, that season for you, it might last for months. It might last for years, depending on how God is working in your life. But be hungry. and enjoy it. Feast. It's like a banquet that first season. There's so much out there, so much good stuff for you to feast on. Just go for it and enjoy it. See, we don't, if you're in that season, just take the opportunity to enjoy being fed. I've noticed in that season that some of the sins and habits of the past started to fall away. Often deliverance happens in that season. I remember Pastor Denise, she was a spiritualist when she got saved. And during that first season, every week there was just deliverance and more deliverance and stuff. Altar call after altar call after altar call. We were the altar call kings. We were there every service. But there's deliverance that takes place in that season. You know, it gives us an overview of a foundational understanding of the Word and the body of Christ. It gives us our foundations. But there are also graces and opportunities in that. Who can remember the incredible grace of sharing the love of Jesus in your first season? I can. I knew nothing. Nothing about the Bible and God, but there was a grace for me to be able to go, hey, I'm changed. There's an opportunity. There's opportunities in that season that you don't want to let go. Second season. So when the second season arrives in our Christian walk, things change. Now from Isaiah, go back to that scripture if you wouldn't mind. It says in the second season, eat what springs forth from that. From what? The first season. Enjoy eating and being nourished by what you've learnt over this first season. But you know, in this season, you start to be a bit more selective. We start to consume and outwork what some of the stuff that has been placed in our life in the first season. Things like we'd start to settle into a church home if we hadn't already settled into a church home. We would start to seek God about what teachings and what meetings to attend. And we would start to lean towards certain areas from what we'd learnt in the first season. Some of the things that we'd learnt and we'd experienced in the first season would start to be more exciting than other things. We would start to develop a bent towards particular things and particular teachings. And you know, the grace that has been placed in our lives becomes evident to us in that season. Remember that? You'd start to go, oh, I'm not so much into that, but gee, I love that. I love to worship, or I love to pray, or I love to minister with children, or I love that. Who you are starts to develop in the second season. And what we're doing is we're eating and we're being nourished out of what took place in that first season and starting to develop who we are. See, the second season can be likened to gleaning a field after harvest. You know, there's still plenty to eat, but we have to put in some effort to receive what we need. There's a little more effort involved. Well, this is a good season. If you're in that season, if you're in the second season, I would encourage you to do these things. Read books. Do training. Go to Bible college. In our second season, we're in a church in New South Wales with Pastor Sean Stanton. He's an incredible teacher, and he did this series called Equipping the Saints. And I tell you what, we had been enjoying the fruit of church life until we did Equipping the Saints, and man, we were fed. It's time to be trained. It's time to learn. It's time to grow. It's time to do Bible college courses. It's time to mature yourself, but they take some effort. You've got to do it. You can't just sit back, come to church, and allow yourself to be fed. There's some effort involved in the second season. It's a season of establishment. to pursue what interests us and excites us in the kingdom of God. And this is the season we start to learn who we are in Him. But you know what? Some people never get past the second season. I know Christians who have been Christians for 40, 40, 50 years and they've never actually got past the second season. In fact, some people never get past the first season. They just want to be fed. Just feed me, feed me, feed me. But you know what? There's graces and opportunities in that second season. There's an ability to be able to soak and learn and grow in that second season that you really need to take advantage of. Because the arrival of this third season signals a rather dramatic change. And according to our scripture, it says that in our third season, we need to sow and to reap and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. So no longer is our feeding based solely on the labor of others. No longer can we sit back and let others take care of us. Now we need to sow and reap in order to be fed. Now, if people don't recognize this season and its requirements, they start to make statements like this: I'm just not getting fed here anymore. The teaching here just isn't deep enough. The truth is, you will never be fed like you were fed in your first season again. You will never be fed like you were in your second season again. Our feeding now depends on your own sowing and reaping. Is that correct? Thank you. See, you receive seed from the fruit that you ate in the first two seasons of your Christian life. And that continues in your third. But when the third season comes, you must sow that seed into the lives of others in order to reap the harvest. See, the third season requires that each one of us plant vineyards. Now, a vineyard by its nature produces more seed than we can consume ourselves. We are to eat its fruit. We get nourished by the vineyard. But the idea of the vineyard is we're producing more fruit than we could ever consume ourselves. So we need to release that fruit. So a vineyard will always produce fruit to give to others. And God's intention is that the needs of others become the focus of our sowing and reaping. So we go from trying to be fed to delivering our fruit to others. See, this is God's plan. And if we don't make this transition in the third season, into the third season, two things happen. We either starve to death spiritually and fall away from God because no one is feeding me like they used to. So we starve to death. Or we can become spiritual beggars. And look, I've been a pastor. I've seen this happen. Spiritual beggars in the body of Christ, there's a lot of them out there, you know. They go, you know, they come along to your church and they really interested in getting to know you, and they make statements like this: I've never been fed like I get fed here. Your feeding is amazing. You know, the last church I was at, the last pastor I was with, they didn't feed me like you do. 3 months later, they've gone to another church and another church and another church. You know why? Not because they're bad people. They just haven't discerned the season. They're no longer nourished by the feeding of others because they've gone through the first season, through the second season. They're now in their third season and they need to be sowing and reaping and planting vineyards. And it's in the process of that that we personally get fed. I've learnt more. I've grown more from sowing and reaping and planting vineyards than I ever could have imagined being taught by sitting in a church. Some of those experiences have been good. Some of those have been bad. Right, Pastor Stuart? But out of all those experiences, we learn. We learn. No matter how much you feed people in that situation, you will never be able to give them enough because they need to be feeding themselves. So the third season is not about feeding so much. It's all about sowing and reaping and planting vineyards. And vineyards, like I said, produce a lot more fruit than you can eat. So those vineyards nourish others. And they're meant to consume your fruit. And you know, there's the personal satisfaction and nourishment of the third season comes from feeding others. As third season Christians, we need to be able to read these signs. If we're feeling dissatisfied as a third season Christian, we need to give out. If the word isn't inspiring us as third season Christians, we need to minister it to others. If we're feeling lethargic in our faith, we need to inspire others. And out of that action comes all the inspiration, all the feeding, and all the nourishment that we need. It's the most powerful and exciting thing. See, we have experienced this. Pastor Denise and I, we planted this church in 2005, and so we senior ministered for 11 years. And you know, I'm not saying that a vineyard is a church, it's just what we were called to. And you see here a vineyard, and this is what Pastor Stuart was called to. But a vineyard can be lots of things. A vineyard can be leading a home group. They're great vineyards. In fact, they're in some ways much more fruitful than church services. Serving on the kids' team can be a fruitful vineyard. If you're called to that, man, that can be fruitful. Ministering to a new Christian at work, that's a vineyard. That's fruitful. Getting involved in something that you are passionate about. Ministering out of breakthroughs you have received in the second season. Now, that's important. There's many of you who will have had significant breakthroughs in your first and second season. Well, in your third season, it's time to minister that to others. So if you've come through brokenness in any way, shape or form, the third season is the time to find all those people who are presently in the same brokenness and minister them through it. Feed them fruit. And you know what? In your fruit that you feed them will be seed. And that seed will grow in them. And out of that seed, they will feed others fruit. See, after doing this a while, I've realized that, you know, I don't always feel charged in the word. I don't always feel hugely anointed. I don't always, but you know what brings those things is ministering to others. Third season Christians. My experience. Let me summarize it this way: if you're a third season Christian, and you're not ministering to others, you will be dissatisfied. Because it just doesn't work any other way. See, we handed over our church, and in one day, I went from being Ian Weaver, the senior minister, on the state executive, to being Ian Weaver, the disciple. Title's gone. Every other reputation gone. Ian Weaver, the disciple. And you know what I found? I found that I wasn't fulfilled if I continued just going along to church. I had to minister out. Whether I had the title or not, I was a third season Christian. So the only way that I was fulfilled and nourished was by delivering the fruit that I had in my life. And I might have received that fruit in my first season, might be 30 years old. I might have been delivered in my second season. Or I might have heard it yesterday, but I was never satisfied until I did, till I released the fruit of my life. So much so, even this year, I was feeling a little bit, you know, sort of, oh God, okay, you know how you feel? Word wasn't as inspiring as it usually is, and I was just feeling a bit flat, I suppose. And then decided that we're going to lead a marriage course. Our pastor, you know, we speak to our pastor, oh, yeah, marriage course, great idea. We'd love you to do that. So we led a marriage course that Denise and I had done when we were probably in our second year of marriage. So this is 30-something years ago. The course had been updated and changed. But what happened is I received so much blessing and enjoyment in God through ministering this course to these people over these 12 weeks into their marriage. And this was a course that we had fed on in our first and second season of Christian life. And in my third season, I'm actually in my fourth season now, which I'll explain in a sec, but we received so much satisfaction in our Christian walk by just purely ministering this marriage course over this period of time. It was a great thing. All right. If you don't use your fruit in your third season, it'll rot. And a season of change is a great time to find out how God wants you to sow your seed and plant your vineyard. So, if you start next year, I believe that if you started next year with every person in this church who is in their third season sowing and reaping and planting vineyards, the church would have no lack. Every department would be full. The rosters would be full. Pastor Aaron wouldn't be waking up in the middle of the night going, how am I going to deal with this? Because everyone in their third season would be sowing and reaping and planting vineyards. Everyone. This church would have no lack. Okay. Now, if you need to determine what God wants you to do in that, there's a few questions that you probably should ask. You know, like perhaps you feel like you're entering into your third season and it's time to start sowing and reaping and doing all those things. You know, one of the indicators of this season is sensing like you have a wealth within you that's been deposited, but no way of releasing it or no avenue to release it. And you might be sitting there, you might be waiting for Pastor Stuart to point out you and go, you're the person, you're the next person I want to do. Well, better than that, find out from God what he's placed upon your heart and start to move towards that. Don't wait to be asked. Third season Christians have to know what they're called to do and just do it. Just go for it. Obviously, under the direction and the leadership of the church in the appropriate way. But maybe you're not sure about what your specific assignments are. Well, I often wasn't. But, you know, ask some of these questions. Where is your burden? What are you drawn to? You know, are you drawn to ministering to young children, old people, singles, to married? Do you have a burden to heal or to strengthen? Does your heart cry out for the lost? Do you function better in a one-on-one situation or are you comfortable in teaching groups? What is your geographical burden? What's your church burden? Your neighborhood burden? City, state, another country? You'll be surprised that the things you desire in your heart are the things you've been called to do. You know, we all know that scripture that God gives us the desires of our heart. We'll turn it round the other way and look at it from the other direction and think, well, maybe God has given you the desire of your heart. You'll find that the things that are in you are the things that God wants you to do. And, you know, God often chooses our points of healing to minister to others. Like I said, Pastor Denise was a spiritualist when she got saved. So she got delivered from that in her first and second season. You know, the Word became alive. She realized what was truth in the Word. And now she's the best person I know for ministering to spiritualists. And so are you. Whatever it is God has released you from, it might be, it could be anything. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be, you know, inappropriate things you've looked, whatever it is that you've been released from, minister that. Minister that into other people's lives. See, God has a plan for every one of you in 2023. Every one of you. And you know, you can choose to grow in this season and start to enjoy the call of God that's upon your life, or you can choose to sit back and still be fed. You know, sometimes we need to make that decision. And you know the season that you're in. You'll sense by what I've said this morning that you're in a particular season. And if you're in season three, don't mind me for being bold. If you're in season three, it's time to sow, it's time to reap, it's time to plant vineyards, it's time to build, it's time to pull up your sleeves and be part of the vineyard. I've noticed this in closing, a band could come if they could, is that, oh, okay, my wife's going, season four, what's season four? Okay, well, I'll tell you what season four is. Season four is exactly what Pastor Stuart and Pastor Pauline are heading into, okay? And season four has different anointings and different revelation and different purpose than season three. Is it's almost like, I remember when we moved in this season, a friend of mine calls it the sage season, where we have a lot of experience to give out, but you watch how the opportunities will open up for Pastor Pauline and Pastor Stuart, and they'll start to minister in places and on levels like they haven't ministered before. There'll be a new anointing upon them. You'll find there'll be a greater sense of authority. They're no longer just senior ministers. They're fathers and mothers. They're able to speak into the life of senior leadership in a new and powerful way. There's an anointing coming, and let me prophesy this. There's an anointing coming that you will see senior leaders so encouraged and so blessed. There's times when you're going to have to be very direct. There's times when you're going to have to be a little bit blunt. But God wants to use you as a tool to be able to bring significant change into the lives of leaders of churches. This is season four for you. You know how to feed yourself. You know how to plant vineyards. You know how to bring fruit to the table. Now it's time to enjoy the anointing that God is going to place on you for speaking into the life of the church. It hasn't finished here. It's just beginning. I've noticed that you guys can play something or it's cool. I've noticed that if you make a decision, you've got something to come back to. If you don't make a decision, then when opportunities arise or even temptations arise, you don't know how to deal with that. You're still figuring out whether you do and whether you don't. You need to make some decisions. And if you made a decision at this point that you're going to pursue the Lord into 2023 and find out what He wants you to do in that season, He'll speak to you. I make lots of decisions at the start of every year. I make decisions that I'm not going to look at certain things on my computer every year. So that when that temptation comes around, I don't have to decide what I'm going to do. I've already made the decision. We need to make decisions that we're going to head into a season of fruitfulness where we start to feed others. And I tell you, you'll find the satisfaction is that is enormous. If you're missing a little satisfaction in your Christian life, start to feed others. Doesn't matter if it's a home group or whatever area your senior minister releases you to minister into, or whether it's at work or however that is. If you want satisfaction from your Christian life, start to minister to others. Let's be bold, 2003. Grace City Church, you are awesome. I was saying to Pastor Aaron this morning, I was saying, if we lived closer, we would attend this church. We love it. We've got family here. We love these guys. Let's go for it. Let's make 2003 our year. Oh, 2023. Sorry, I'm only 20 years behind. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness this morning. I thank you that this is like a watershed moment. This is a shift. This is a transition. This is big. And it's not only for the pastors, it's for everyone. I want to speak the word fruitfulness over you as a church. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness like you haven't seen before. Fruitfulness like you've been waiting for. Fruitfulness like you've always thought possible. I want to speak fruitfulness over you this morning. I believe that there's graces and opportunities in people in this room this morning. And I don't care whether you're 20 or whether you're 90, you can step into graces you've never stepped into before. The ability to be able to minister in a powerful way like you've never stepped in before. Those graces are available to you this morning, and we're going to just pray that now. God, I just thank you, Lord, that you would release your Holy Spirit upon this congregation, and you would release your graces and your abilities and your anointings for purpose, for the sowing and reaping, for the planting, for the harvest, Lord. God, we thank you that it's your power and your word and your might that releases opportunity and breakthrough. So God, we thank you for your goodness and your blessing upon this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ian. This was truly a word in season, amen? Truly a word in season. I was sitting there, I was like, oh my goodness, Lord. Incredibly, I just hear the Lord speaking to me personally and speaking to us as a church as well. And I'm going to have to re-listen to this and read and digest this a little bit more. I just want to encourage us on this one thing, is this. I think Pastor Yin has hit the nail on his head, because one of the things that we've been sensing in our church is that there are already graces on people here. There are already people here who are in their third season, who are at the doorstep, who have been sitting on the threshold of this third season for maybe perhaps quite some time already. And it's time to make a decision. It is time for us to move forward. And it's not so much about where or what God wants us to do, how big the task it looks. It is not about that. I didn't ask to be standing here today. But God is looking for people who are faithful. Faithful because he will say that to some are given 5 talents, to some are given 10 talents. He's not saying, can your 10 talent multiply to a 20 talent? He's not saying, can your 5 talents multiply to a 30 talent? He's just saying, what would you do with your talent? And the Lord has already deposited a lot in here. And the desire is this. Don't look for the younger ones. Don't look at your age. Younger ones, don't look at your age. Because when the Lord first called me into ministry, I was merely 11 years old. And I remember my dad was not saved. I had to sneak out of the house at 6 something in the morning to get to church. I mastered the art of leaving the home without my dad waking up, locking up the house and everything, without him waking up and getting to church. And when he comes back and he's just woken up, I'm back. I'm not saying you should do that. But I'm saying is this. Would you avail yourself? Would you allow yourself for God to work in and through? All right? So I just maybe want to just, I know Pastor Ian has prayed. I know the musicians have been playing on repeat mode or sometime. But I just felt that I want to give you a chance to respond to the message this morning. Would you just close your eyes? And would you now just listen? Listen to that voice that's within. What is God prompting you on? What is He nudging you on this morning? Some of you are saying, but Lord, it takes a lot. But Lord, I'm not sure. Some of you are saying, but Lord, how does it all work out? I don't know. I may not have the resources to do so. Just take the first step. And the first step is to say, yes, Lord. Lord, here am I. I'm all yours. Be it unto me according to your word, O Lord. Just take the first step this morning, brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, I just want to commit, O Lord, every brother and sister here in this place, we thank you that you have called us into this church, into this place. We recognize that it is you, Lord, who have planted us here. We did not choose, O Lord, our steps to be here. We thought that we chose it, but you have all it, you've got it all planned. You have brought us all here. And as we hear your word this morning, Lord, we want to respond to your voice. We want to respond to your word. Not to any man, but to you, O Lord. We offer ourselves up to you and we ask that you will come and work in us and through us. We are your servants. We are your instruments, O Lord. Would you sanctify us this morning, right now? Sanctify us for the work that you have for us. Sanctify us for the purpose that you have for us. Sanctify us for the season that's up ahead for us. And Lord, we will choose, O Lord, right now, this morning, to say that we will not walk by sight, but Lord, we will walk by faith. We will fix our eyes on you. And Lord, when we see the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire move, we will move. And Lord, where you lead us, we will go. We will obey. So Lord, we pray that you would you come and glorify your name in and through each of our lives, in and through each of us this morning, and for the days ahead. We bless you, Lord. We love you. And we ask all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand and respond to the Lord in a worship song?